Welcome, everyone, to Renzo the Unfriendly Ghosts podcast, episode 1.5. Now, I say 1.5 because the first episode I recorded was deleted. Because, like an intelligent person, I thought to try to add music post-recording. And the app wouldn't let me go back to save what I had recorded. So this is now episode 1.5. The topics covered in in what was the original first episode were a little over the top. I talked a lot about my past, where I worked before, and to give you a hint, it was mostly about my experiences in security and my disenfranchisement with the company that I worked for, which it's kind of a happy accident that that the recording failed to save, because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be demonetized for all the swearing and all the names and the company names that were thrown in there. So let's start off on a fresh foot, shall we? Good. My name is Renzo the Unfriendly Ghost, and this is my podcast. Here we'll cover random topics. If you want to listen to some crazy dude in Southwest Florida talk to himself for an hour, you've come to the right place. I also have a Twitch. Twitch.tv/Renz. That'll be R-E-N-Z 14180. Check me out on there. I record every now and again when I feel like it. I only have about a couple of maybe four followers and two views, because I've only streamed about twice on that channel. Once I start getting more followers, I will make it more of a habit to get more streams in. Granted, those four people who are following me all work with me, or worked with me. So the video games, the video games we will cover are mostly Warframe, Red Dead Redemption 2. I guess those two are currently relevant games. Warframe is a free-to-play game about space ninjas. I know. When you hear free-to-play, you're thinking, ah, it's pay-to-win, right? And it's like, well, the game is 90% co-op. It's a big old space ninja fashion show. That's what it is. You could earn everything except the colors for your Warframe. You could trade for platinum. There's a trading function. It's fun. It's good. It's good. Trust me. It's good. It's great. I remember my best friend. I don't know if he wants his name mentioned. So, what name shall I give him this time? I give him a bunch of nicknames. That doesn't matter. Anyway, my best friend, he got me into Warframe, and we used to play constantly together when he was unemployed for a little bit. And it was like every day, for like every night for like a year, we played for 4, 5, 6 hours at a time, because he didn't need to work. He made money doing his own thing. Now he's got his stuff together, and he's got a 2019 Ford Mustang, and I'm sitting here driving around in a busted up Nissan Sentra, which actually I was supposed to do something about that today, but. I didn't. Supposed to go down to the dealership to look at another Mustang, a 2011, but I didn't. So he got me into Warframe. We played it. It was fun. Check it out. It's a blast. I'll stream it. Red Dead Redemption 2, however, blows it out of the water. It's a beautiful game. Another knockout of the park by Rockstar, and the online play is heart-pounding. But that's just me. Let's see, what are we, 4 minutes in? Jeez, that hour felt like it took forever. But here we are, here we go again. What to fill it with this time? Well, if you want to hear about my disenfranchisement with working in a security company, it's mostly this. It's there's a lot of micromanagement involved with working security. Very rarely will you ever work at one post. Quite often you'll find yourself working at a post for maybe 3 days, and then they'll shuffle you off to another place for a day, and like that, mostly because of staffing and all that, and the revolving door is constant. There are a lot of maladjusted individuals who are security officers, who are bored out of their minds due to the lack of action, and end up picking on their fellow officers just because they don't like their face. I'm all relaxed and keep fresh my happy heaven plush. I need to get rid of the people that that don't make this place perfect for me. He's looking at you, Mark. The you old bastard. You keep eating popcorn the way you are. I hope your heart falls out of your ass. I'm not even upset with the old company I used to work for. I was thinking about suing them for wrongful termination, for harassment. I literally had one of their road captains leave me 9 voicemails threatening my livelihood because I told him that I was done talking to him because our last conversation was just mostly about him putting me down. He's a big old white Ohio cop, you know, former cop. He's got police tattooed on his arm. So the only people he sticks up for, quite literally, are fellow old white people. And whenever we've talked about other African-Americans or Hispanics, he's never liked them. He's always, I don't like that person. I know this person. I don't like him either. This other person I don't like. You need to be careful with this guy. The only white person he ever warned me about was my old post captain, Ed. Great guy. Yeah, he older Italian fella. He had a very sweet voice to him. He was tall. He was former army. He was the only boss that I've ever had, ever, in my lifetime, to pay me a compliment for my work. When he said that you do a great job, and yada yada yada, you do good work around here, and I miss you if you were gone. I feel like I want to cry now, because further on down the line, Mark came along and ruined my attitude and my performance, and I disappointed old Ed. You know, I took his confidence and trust and proved him wrong, which I didn't mean to at all. Not at all. So if you're hearing this, Ed, I'm sorry. I miss you, big guy. And I hope you still have many, many fun years ahead of you. Unlike Mark. He dies in a car accident on the way to work. That's not true. I don't wish any harm upon anybody. But, oh, right. What the road captain had said to me about Ed. He goes, oh, we gotta move him from his other post because I guess he was throwing his weight around. I'm like, oh, okay, so he's one of those guys? Cool. So I meet Ed the following morning, I greet him with a big old happy, oh, good morning, you must be Ed, our new captain. We don't have captains at that post, by the way, because they wouldn't pay for one, we're all just employees, but since he's a day shift guy, I called him captain. So Captain Ed comes up, happy to see me, yada yada, I'm expecting an asshole, you know, an a-hole, and, you know, a bad guy. From what the road captain had told me the night before, because I had just started to kind of trust the road captain. Not kind of, sort of, but not really. Because he had just started to be nice to me. He had shook my hand for once. And I meet this guy, Ed, and he's a complete teddy bear. Complete, absolute nice guy, great sounding voice, showed up 15, 30 minutes early to relieve me. You know, he was a great, 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 great guy. So I didn't know what the hell the road captain was talking about. He's throwing his weight around. Well, if he's post captain, that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to make rules and changes and stuff through regulations and what have you. But this amazing guy, I don't know why they didn't saddle him up with a post much closer to home, because he lives in North Fort Myers. He lives up by Babcock Ranch, almost up that way, exit. What the fuck? I don't know. Up by that exit, you know. And he would come all the way down to Estero to come work, because the post captain, or the property management, would ask for this dude by name, regardless of how far away he lives. Which I think it's kind of selfish. I think that's kind of selfish. You should pay attention to the needs of your employees, regardless of how well you get along with them, and just suck it if they give you someone who's closer. But you know how these folks are. You know how people are. Or you know how Americans are. Entitlement. I don't care about you and your walk of life. I want me and mine. I live in a real, real backwoods, kind of, not backwoods, but subtropical section of Florida, Southwest Florida, Lee, Collier County, that's where I live. And the racism and the bigotry here is not as severe. I mean, I'm not getting tarred and feathered when I walk out of my house, but I am getting a lot of dirty stares, a lot of dirty looks, people asking me, where are you from? You know, I'll tell them I'm from Miami. Oh, but I mean ethnicity. Like, what the fuck does that matter? I'm brown. Well, nowadays, you know, nowadays, I learned from my earlier 20s. I've learned to just be like, I'm black. And then we just pause and they're like, are you sure? Are you sure? I'm pretty sure my parents are black. But no, I'm actually Puerto Rican, black and Puerto Rican. I don't ever say the Puerto Rican. Nowadays I say the Puerto Rican part because if they say, oh, Puerto Rico, I'm like, yeah, you know, the island that Trump abandoned because he didn't like the mean things the governor was saying about him. The female governor of Florida. Ah, she's mean to me. I'm not helping that island out. That's like if, you know, to me, that's more like if Trump had a, like if we had a natural disaster and, you know, it was something about the size of Maine or Delaware. And he would have just turned around and be like, well, I'm not helping Delaware because they said mean things to me. You know, of course, people would break neck and be like, what? That's an American place right there. This should help them. It'd be all over the bloody news. I'll tell you this right now. It'd be all over the news. People would not stop talking about it. They'd be talking about it more than the Mueller report. In fact, we wouldn't even need to see the Mueller report. If he had turned his back on a state like that, like he did Puerto Rico, like an actual state, people would lose their minds. But no, we just covered it for a little bit. Covered in the news, talked about the death toll. The number changed every time. They received some kind of assistance. They paid. They owe like a couple of million dollars to a company that had never worked electrical before, or electrical equipment before, because FPL and all other companies up here turned them down for the contract, for what they're going to pay them. I think a company came up and said, "Well, we want $1 billion to give power back to the island. We want $1 billion." You know, America doesn't have $1 billion. As it is, I mean, we wouldn't even give Trump $1 billion for his wall. He was asking for, what, $54 million? And they eventually tried to broker a deal for like 20 or 12 million. And he just slammed his fist on the table and walked out of a meeting, or man-child of a president. I don't care if you're right or left. I'm neither. I care about the attitude that our leader, our representative to the world, has and exemplifies and whatnot. Because I can't go to work and, you know, I can't sit in a meeting with say my peers and hear something I don't like and slam my fist on the table and walk out. Of course I'm not the president of the United States, but you know, there's a level of decorum, there's a level of professionalism. But people love him because he's a jerk and a cowboy, and that's, you know, his attitude reflects what is in the heart of every bigoted white person in America. You know, he represents the how all those people who were frustrated during the Obama administration felt and wanted things done. I mean, look at ISIS behavior, but we're not going to get into that. We're not going to get into politics. That's not what I want here. This will just be a friendly channel. It'll be mostly about video games, or about listening to this crazy old fool down in Southwest Florida talk to himself for about an hour, which I hope that's okay. I hope it's okay. I mean, I'm doing this mostly because I'm inspired by my favorite comedian Bill Burr. He was neck and neck with Louis C.K. for the longest time. Louis came first. Actually, no, that's not true. I saw Bill before I ever heard of Louis C.K. Now, you guys, some of you might remember, I don't know what your age group is, but Bill Burr used to show up quite, he was a returning actor to the Chappelle Show. Oh yeah, he was on Chappelle Show. If you go back and watch the Ghetto Olympics, I think is what it is, the Ghetto Olympics, it's an episode where they have a bunch of African Americans in what seems to be a stairwell in a project, playing, you know, dice. Oh yeah, it was a dice game. It was something like that, like the dice world championship. And you had you know they were doing their thing, and then Bill Burr was doing commentary next to another comedian that I don't know. Excuse me. He was doing commentary for the dice game. And that's the first time I ever saw him. The very first time I ever laid eyes on Bill Burr. And I was, what, 12, 13? And I remember thinking to myself, I'm like, this guy sounds funny. I like him, you know. He has that over-exaggerated Bostonian accent or whatever, you know. Pot the con of God, you know. And, you know, I hadn't really heard of him before that. And then I didn't really watch any of his stand-up because, you know, we didn't really have, like, YouTube and all that stuff back then. In fact, I didn't really discover the advent of YouTube until, like, 2011, 2010. I've been out for a while before that, I think. I don't know. So I see him again in Breaking Bad. Saw him again in Breaking Bad. That's where it was. Which was, like, you know, again, like 2011-ish or whatever. He was working alongside this other big dude, and I remember thinking, oh, these guys remind me of Timon and Pumbaa. you have skinny little big, you know, little skinny little Bill Burr with his red hair and his exaggerated accent, and you have this big black dude. Remember there was a shot of them, of both of them laying on a pile of money. it's just laying down on a pile of money. You see the big dude just like, yeah, man, it's good. You know, and I remember thinking, I'm like, wait a minute, I know that voice. So I go back, I go on IMDb, I look him up. It says Bill Burr, and then I go back and punch in his name into Pandora, and the rest is, as they say, is history. The guy's amazing. The guy's a comic genius. He's also super polite. You know, I saw him do the Hot Ones, and he before that episode came out, he's always like, I always thank people for my food, I always clean my plate, yada yada yada. And Talos blessed this guy, okay? Talos blessed this motherfucker. He actually ate all of the wings, all of the spicy wings, and you know, sweating, turning red. It's a fun episode on YouTube. But I digress. He's one of my favorite comedians. Second, before him, I was watching Louis and obsessively following any special stand-up that Louis C.K. had because, you know, he's the awkward adult. In fact, I used to dress like Louis. I used to wear nothing but blue jeans and a black shirt. My closet was like a cartoon character's closet from the 90s where you open the closet and it's just a line of blue jeans on the bottom and then a line of black t-shirts up top. That was my uniform. That was my everyday uniform. But nowadays, I get into the graphic tees and what have you. I mean, I'm too fat for a t-shirt, to be honest. I got what's considered to be a dad body, but I digress. Let's see. We're 18 minutes in. And, okay, so let's talk. We covered Bill Burr, Louis C.K. I like the fact that Sarah Silverman said that she would totally watch Louis C.K. jerk off. I wonder if she made good on her promise. Probably. I mean, they've been allegedly been friends. No, they've been friends forever. Yeah, that's right. Marin covered that in an episode. Okay. Other favorite comedians other than Louis and Bill. Well, there was Dave Attell. Dave Attell was my first comedian. I heard of some place called Comedy Central when I was a kid. And it was mostly to watch South Park, right? Because we hadn't had cable. Let me give you a little backstory. When I was a kid, like a little kid, we had the basic cable package and it had like Cartoon Network and Spanish TV and that's about it. When we got older, when I was like 8, from 8 to 12, well, from 12, yeah, for, anyway, there was a good period of time where I didn't have cable. Like at all. Like, we didn't get cable until I was like 14 or 12. And I remember like sitting there like a dork and sitting there and staring at the TV and how amazing it was. And I remember seeing the same look in my ex-high school girlfriend Lucy's face, because she didn't have cable at all while her and I were dating, and watching her like watch TV for like the first time in a while. Like, oh my God, that girl. Yeah, I can't talk about Lucy. But anyway, we didn't have cable for the longest time, so I came into the TV a little late, And I hadn't watched South Park. You know, there are kids that I grew up with who had watched South Park throughout elementary school. I didn't have cable like that throughout elementary school. I was lucky to have Cartoon Network. And, you know, eventually we moved into another place after my mom had gotten with her boyfriend. I think I was like about 12 or 14. And I started watching Comedy Central then. I remember one night after watching South Park, Insomniac with Dave Attell comes on. It was super late. Like, I had fallen asleep during South Park. I had woken up at like maybe one in a, like super late, and caught an episode of Insomniac with Dave Attell. And this was a show in where he would travel to many parts of the world doing stand-up, and then he would record himself walking around these places. Like, he went to New Orleans, he went to Memphis, he went to Tokyo, Japan, which that was my favorite episode, Dave Attell in Japan. He even stops by a Japanese company that makes marital aids. You know what that is? And there was one that was hollow, and you take the back of it, you open it up, and you stick a gerbil in there, and you close it. And of course, this thing has air holes, so the gerbil can breathe. And I guess the point of this marital aid is to use it with the animal inside, and the animal is supposed to run up and down it. I'm like, I don't know if you guys know anything about hamsters, but I've never seen a hamster frantically run back and forth in a tube. So what that thing is going to do, it's going to have a front row seat to your innards, and just sit there, scared out of its fucking mind because it can't see where it's going. So, you know, I think they only had that as a gag, but I remember Dave Attell holding it up and it being light blue and it had the little cap in the back. And he's like, what's this? And they're like, you put a hamster in there and it runs back and forth. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys know how marital tools are used, but you're not just supposed to let it sit there. I don't know if people get stimulation from that. But I could imagine someone not reading the instructions clearly because they're in Japanese and just putting a hamster in there and rocking that thing back and forth until you snap its little neck. So, I highly doubt they make those anymore. But it's a true story. If you go back and watch Insomniac with Dave Attell and try to catch the episode where he's in Japan, that's in it. He also goes around the entire episode saying chin chin, which someone eventually told him, why do you say that? And they're like, what? Chin chin is it's penis. I'm like, oh, I've been saying it as cheers this whole time. And then they go back to a clip show of him saying chin chin every time he takes a shot. And really what it is, it's kanpai. Kanpai is how you say cheers. I see we're at 23 minutes. Yeah, this is taking much longer now that I'm not complaining about things that have happened to me. You know, because nobody wants to hear an adult complain. I'm just sharing fun stories, fun times, and what have you. I'm at home in my apartment, just kind of pacing back and forth, recording this on my phone. I got a new microphone / headset from newegg.com. It was only a dollar. Surprisingly, it was only 99 cents. Free shipping. Arrived 2 to 5 days. And if you guys can hear me, it sounds pretty good. I don't know. I tested it earlier and I got a thumbs up, so here we are. Recording the old podcast. I do have an Xbox Turtle Beach headset that I might end up recording the podcast with, simply because it sits right there in front of the Xbox. But realistically, I might need another mic for this. Probably a real microphone. But we'll get around to that if I make enough money. I'll start buying equipment and you know, part of this, part of why I'm doing this podcast is to fund my YouTube channel, which would be a lot of Let's Plays, comedy, a cartoon I've been working on. As you can tell from my profile picture, that guy, he's not the main character, but the deuteragonist. That is Renzo the Unfriendly Ghost. Yeah. I just added a flag for the fun of it. If you want to know what that creature was in a profile picture, I explained it. This is my first and a half recording of the podcast, so I apologize if there's a little bit of dead air and inconsistency here, but I'm doing my best, folks. Anywho, so let's see. We talked about my favorite comedians. We talked about games. We talked about what else have we got? I do like anime. I do like anime quite a bit. I've been watching shows like what's that one? Whatever they have on Netflix. There was one I watched called Killer Bee. I couldn't really get my head around. The character that they have in a thumbnail dies in the first episode after spouting some dialectic logic at you, like as if it was Colonel Hertz from Apocalypse Now. So gay. it was a fun anime, but I couldn't help but feel like they were trying to sell me a video game. I don't know. That could be me. Be a lot of me. I don't know. It was fun to watch. And then there was one called Fate Zero and Fate Encore. Fate Zero took itself more seriously than Fate Encore did. Those animes were about the first one was about this. God, I can't even remember what Fate Zero was about. I have to go back and watch it. But Fate Encore was these people are stuck in a simulation, and they have to get to the top. And these people have actually been dead and are just data at this point. And the whole point is to get to the top to make a wish. But when they get there, they realize there's no wish. You just destroy the world or you live in it. But what ends up happening is they end up like resetting the planet anyway. Or resetting the space station to how it was. And reviving the human race somehow. And the main character from Fate Zero plays like a summon. It's still the blonde girl, but she's like a summon. And she's completely out of character compared to how she was in Fate Zero and in Encore. In Encore, she's wearing a much more revealing outfit. In fact, there's a whole lot of fan service in Encore compared to Zero. In Zero, yeah, she was a buxom babe, but she's wearing like full armor and she's totally serious and has no time for anyone's nonsense. Like she's a warrior. She's a real deal. And then you come to this other anime, and she's, you know, highly sexualized fan service. I don't get it. Maybe I do. I just choose not to get it. I mean, I've been watching anime for my entire life. I started with Dragon Ball Z. No, that's not true. I started with Sailor Moon. You know, with her and her Sailor Scouts and useless tuxedo mask. Yeah, you guys want to talk about how useless Aqua is, that other character from that other show? Yeah, what about tuxedo mask? Yeah, here's my rose, some advice, and I'm just gonna... Bye-bye! No, just leaves in the middle of the battle. Then they sort it out without him. Like, why'd you even bother, dude? Why'd you even come by? Jesus. Then came Dragon Ball Z, because that was on. Because Sailor Moon was on in the mornings, and then Pokemon, I think, was right before that. I don't remember. Watched it mostly at Grandma's house, because she had cable. And later on in life, I got into DBZ, and then I moved on to Toonami, the holy grail of animation, in my opinion. Just the best shows ever. I watched Reboot, Outlaw Star. Well, Outlaw Star was on before I got home from school. Remember that. I never got to watch Outlaw Star as much as I really wanted to. But I caught a couple episodes of it. Netflix, if you're listening to this, put Outlaw Star on Netflix, please. Because I saw you got Evangelion. Meaning to watch that. I'm going to watch it. All three seasons. Please believe that. But if you put Outlaw Star on there, I'll love you forever. I think it might be on Crunchyroll, but they don't really... I don't really like Crunchyroll that much. Ads are out of control. What kind of anime do you guys like? I like hearing about all these obscure animes that I've never heard of, like God, what was one? Darkstar. Darkstar was one I never heard of, that I watched and I was mortified. I've been hearing about JoJo's, but I heard about JoJo Bizarre Adventure for the longest time, before it became mainstream as it is now. And my buddy, Joshua Carrillero, I don't know if he wants me to say his name on his podcast, but shout out to you, good buddy. He was obsessed with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. While everyone loved Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I guess they liked the aesthetic and all that. This was the early 2000s, so goth and emo was a big deal. Everyone liked Yu-Gi-Oh! For his aesthetic, and then you had JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which had its own aesthetic, but was just a load of fun. I mean, just wow. Incredible, incredible show. I watched that one recently. I watched that whole thing on Netflix and was not disappointed. I watched it in Japanese a long time ago, and that was cool too. But it had been in manga form since the early 2000s. I'm glad they probably remade it. I've been under a rock for way too long. I've been working security for the past 2 years and spent all that time on Reddit. That's right. Your boy loves Reddit. Your boy is a Reddit social justice warrior. No, I'm kidding. I'm just a stoic loser on Reddit who tries to keep people from killing themselves or gives attention to sad people. So I frequent r/suicide watch. And I get on there and I run into a lot of teenagers, or say they have issues and whatnot, and I try to, talk them off that ledge. It's kind of, whatever. It's my contribution to the world. If I'm gonna spend time on Reddit, I'm at least trying to do something good. Of course. Reddit's a good place if you want to join like anonymous communities. Like if you're into video games, where specifically there's a subreddit for Warframe, there's a subreddit for cooking, there's a subreddit for just about anything. If you can think of it, I'm pretty sure there's a subreddit for it. And you can get on there and ask questions, post questions, and talk to people. It's a place where lonely, ugly people gather. So if you don't care about what, if you're not looking for a relationship of any kind, or maybe just looking for a pen pal on Reddit, or just random people to talk to on a specific subreddit, if you're just a lonely person like me, woo woo, Reddit's the place for you. No conversation starts with "Hey, baby." Usually, it ends with a thumbs up or some nonsense. I don't know. It's a good web. It's a good website. It's a good app. I like it. I don't really care much for Facebook. I don't have a Facebook. Nobody wants to get a hold of me. Nobody's tried. I've had the same phone number for the past decade. And no one's ever tried to punch that old number in and try to reach me or call me up and see how I'm doing. I mean, I had this one guy named Daniel Mello. Did he'll call me once at a blue moon? He'll come, call, ask, "Hey, how's life? Yada yada, how's this and that and this and that?" And he just kind of goes away. He's a fair weather friend. He's got his own friends, he's got his own life, he's got his own stuff, but if I ever want to talk or hang out, I got to do it on his time. And it's like, dude, no, man, like, I'm trying to make friends to I'm trying to keep friends to go out and do stuff and get out of my cave. But he just, I don't even really think we're friends. I think he's just worried that he's gonna call and find a number disconnected and look for my name in the obituary and find me, DED, dead. 10 points if you get the Spawn reference. You're DED, dead. Still a better performance from John Leguizamo than what he gave in Mario Brothers. That movie. Both movies. Oh God. You know what I like? I had this, or what I love doing. People always say, or my black friends say, "Oh, there are not enough black superheroes in the world, or there aren't any cool ones. Luke Cage is kind of lame. There aren't any black superheroes, so we all gravitate to Black Panther. That's why, Black Panther, blah blah blah." And I'm like, "Did you know Spawn was black?" And they're like, "What?" Yeah, Spawn was a black guy. He was an African American Marine, You see him in the first half. Actually, I don't think you, do you really see him in the first half of the movie as normal. Or do you see him in a picture of him dressed up as a Marine and talking to, well, he's trying to talk to his wife when he comes back. I don't remember. I haven't seen the movie in a while. But yeah, he's a black dude. Even in the comics, he was a black dude before he, you know, got turned into Spawn. Got all the satanized. And then I hide the fact that that's a Todd McFarlane. It's not a Marvel or DC property. But everyone remembers Spawn. You know, we all watched that movie in the 90s, and we all couldn't believe how fat John Leguizamo had gotten for the role. Or was it a fat suit? I don't remember, because he had just done Carlito's Way. I'm so glad this app lets you record with friends, because talking to myself for a whole hour for a second time is it's kind of difficult. It's kind of hard playing off yourself. Well, I guess not if you're a comedian and you have all this stuff written down and you come planned, correct, and prepared like I should have for this podcast, but all I have is a couple of footnotes. The next thing is we talked about where I'm from, did we? Yeah, we did. Let's see here. Where I'm at. Okay. I am broadcasting from Estero, Florida. It's down here in Southwest Florida. It's between Fort Myers and Naples and Fort Myers and Bonita Springs. It's a tiny little village. It's not bad, but the rent is astronomical. I'm paying $1,105 a month in rent. You know, it's the gated community. They have a gym, a pool. It's not bad. It's difficult to pay that yourself because you'll starve. I guarantee you, you'll starve to death with what I make for a living. You know, if I buy any booze or alcohol or anything, or if I buy any food for myself, it's a treat. That's always a treat. That's a once in a month kind of deal because I don't know. I came to this apartment to move closer to the action, to where my job was, so I can eliminate the cost of gas altogether. On top of finding a new place to live, I don't know, from where I was. But I didn't really like that post. I had a bunch of problems at that post where I had moved to. You know, from where I worked with Ed. I don't know if I brought up Ed during this podcast at all. But, pretty sure I did. Ended up having to find a new job. And, let's talk about Estero. Estero, as some people say. The place looks alright. I would describe Lee County and Collier County as subtropical. There really isn't a whole lot to do out here outside of, eating and drinking. That's what a lot of people, they hit up the bars, they hit up the restaurants. Maybe we'll have an event or two in town. I know Mick Foley has come to work at the Laughing Comedy Club a couple times here. Daniel Tosh's parents are living here. He's from here. I don't know if you guys, well, of course everyone knows who Daniel Tosh is. He's from Naples, Florida. And, nope, I've never met him. I've never met Mr. Tosh in person. Nor have I, you know, seen his parents or anything of that nature. We're complete strangers, and I'm a lukewarm fan of his, just because, I mean, his stand-up is great. His stand-up is fucking hilarious, but what I don't like about his stand-up, it's just too much like his show. I guess that's the point, right? You can't expect him to go all Seth Rogen on us and be totally different than what he acts in front of this, you know, in front of the silver screen. So. Oh, there's that. I live a stone throws away from Judge Judy. She lives in Naples. I live in Estero, so she's not too far away. And there really isn't a whole lot. I mean, I have more negative memories about this place, about Lee County and Estero than I do positive ones. I've done my best to make friends, have a girlfriend, yada yada. I obviously don't have a girlfriend, I'm not married, and no one likes me. My few friends act like they're doing me a favor by hanging out with me. It's pretty sad. And that's because I got a lot of strong opinions, and I want people to hear them, and I'm not necessarily left or right, but I guess I'm just not a people person. That's why I prefer to work the overnight shifts as a security officer. So I just run into as little folks as possible. And that's just me. It's just my jam. It's just me. All lonely Billy, the unfriendly ghost. And you know, people say it's horrible. Hey man, you gotta get out there. You gotta get into a relationship. You gotta get a girlfriend. Oh, you know, it's. And I'm actually kind of happy not having people around in my life. I'm responsible for me, myself, and I. I have my friends online that I hang out with that I'll talk to. You know, I could just be lying to myself. I don't know yet. We'll figure this out. But there really isn't a whole lot to do around here. There's a lot of racism, a lot of bigotry. I did mention earlier that I am of African American and Puerto Rican descent. And I'll give you a heads up, my fellow brown brothers. Here's how you know that someone's racist when you pass them with just a passing moment. They'll look you straight in the face, look at your left hand to see if you're married. If you don't have a ring on your finger, they look away in disgust. Like, I hope you never get married, because that's their way of telling you that you, with you and your face, we don't want any more of you around here. I remember. Here we go. Here's a story I remembered. We went to P.F. Chang's one day. And we were sitting next to, or I was sitting next to my mother, and there was a family sitting to our right. And I'm on my phone, and dad goes to his daughter, "Ah, would you date that?" Bitch looks over at me, and she goes, "No." And he goes, "Good." Let me give you some context. We were talking about race. We were talking about what kind of race would they date, would she date, and then she said, "Oh, I wouldn't date a black guy. But a brown guy is okay. Depends on the brown guy." And then she looks, and he goes, "Would you date that?" And I'm sitting there. She's like, "No, it's not the right brown." That's what she said. "That's not the right brown." I'm like, "What?" I'm just like, "Oh my God." I'm trying to not say anything, but you know, whatever. Another thing the people around here do is they try to scare you. They try to scare you because out of the corner of their eye, they're looking to see if you jump, get spooked, or look over. Or get angry at the fact that someone either slammed a door, made a loud noise, or something of that nature. If you walk by their car, they hit the car alarm. You know, the button that locks the door instead of unlocking it. Another thing, if you're sitting there in front of their car, is that, you know, yeah, they locked it, but then they'll look back at you and then hit it again. So it goes, eep, once they've gotten about 10 feet from it. Like, "Oh, you don't think I have an alarm, do you?" Eep. I used to get that a lot when I worked at... You know, when I worked at Publix, I'd be sitting in my car relaxing, eating a sandwich, or when I'm on my way to do something, and someone saw me before I saw them, and then we're both walking, so they'll go ahead and hit the alarm in front of you. It's the equivalent of someone driving through a black neighborhood and then hitting their locks. Or the equivalent of someone, you know, you see like a black person or a black person in the car next to you. And you look over at them, give them a sharp look, and then hit their lock and put on an angry face. Like, "You're not getting at me," you know. It's like, you gotta understand, I know it tells you one of two things. It tells you that they think you're broke, and they think you're a thief. Without even judging you, they look at your vehicle, they think you're poor, and then they turn around and think you might steal from them. And they think you're of the ghetto element. They think that you're evil looking. And I don't dress ghetto. I actually dress like a homeless skater sometimes. But I'd be straight up in uniform, you know. Shaved, clean shaven, head shaved, all that. Nothing really wrong with me, but it's just really the color of my skin and the fact that I'm in their neighborhood that they don't like. In fact, I haven't spoken to many of my neighbors. In fact, anytime I see any of my neighbors here, or my Caucasian neighbors are usually above the age of like 35 to 40. And I get a lot of dirty looks, you know, when I'm walking about. The people here, the property management have no respect for me whatsoever. I had a hole in my ceiling for about 5 months. And I called and said, hey, when is this? Well, when I first moved in, I didn't even have a ceiling fan or a lamp in the unit. It was completely pitch black on the inside. So I called up the place and said, hey, can I get a fan? And they said, oh, we were going to get around to that. Eventually, everyone's going to get fans in their units. And I'm like, okay, so can I get mine? That took about a month to get. I don't know why they didn't do it before I had moved in. But they eventually put them in. And then some guy had to cut a hole in the ceiling to keep the fans in, to put the fans in. And that hole was there for 5 months. Every time I had called up, every time I had turned in a check for rent, I brought it up. Yeah, I got that hole in my ceiling. When is it going to... So after month five rolls by, after the fourth or fifth month rolls by, I had a roomie in here, and we were using the hole for the Ethernet cord. And the maintenance guy comes by, and he pretty much, I guess he understood that I was going to utilize the hole for the moment. And I'm like, okay, no, I want that hole sealed. Oh, this was month four. So March comes in. There we go. That's month five. And I had it. I had lost my temper. And I know that I got a short fuse, and I swear a lot. I tend to spit sometimes when I get angry. It's not a fun scene. I'm a very angry person. So I had to go out of my way to control that anger. And after 5 months of watching the sunlight go through my ceiling at an apartment that I'm paying $1,100 a month to live in, I had lost it. So I went down. So I called the dude at the office, and I'm like, Frank, it's been 5 months, or God knows how long it's been at this point, since I've had that hole in my ceiling. Someone needs to get out here and fix it. Like yesterday. Like this is ridiculous, and I want your boss's phone number, because they need to know about this, about how long I've gone with that freaking hole in my ceiling. Like, it started to collect dust. So he's like, oh crap, like, yeah, like, you know, you should have been on top of that. Oh, this one unit actually got a fan in, dude cut a hole in it. I'm pretty sure he told him about it, and the maintenance guy just decided not to come around because he thought that, oh, he can't afford it, that dude's gonna break lease. Guess what, guys? I'm 10 months in. I'm 9 months into this place now. I haven't gone anywhere. Every time I go down to the office, too, I get, you know, there's maintenance guys working there. There was this one maintenance guy, this one older fella. I had passed him by in my car, and he gave me the finger. He was in a golf cart, and he pulled over to the side so I could pass him, and he just sticks his middle finger out at me. I'm like, I'm just driving the speed limit. You were in the way. You're going 15 miles an hour in a golf cart that I know goes 30. I think I'm going 25. I'm actually going 22 because my speedometer is three miles per hour fast. And he gives me the finger. All right. Needless to say, the denizens of Lee and Collier County do not like brown people. And then you have black people who are even more racist than the white people, and they hate both the whites, Hispanics, and definitely the browns. Because they're not Christian, and there's a whole lot of backwoods mentality going on, like backwoods dumb mentality going on around here. Crack cocaine and marijuana flows freely. The Lee County Sheriff's Department, they've put in a whole lot of effort into trying to stop the drug flow with their Operation Winter Blitz. The dorks. And I've met Sheriff Carmine Marcino, and he was drunk driving, mind you. So they, you know, they pick and choose which laws they follow. He's looking at you, Carmine, for Carmine. I've been in this town for so long that I'm kind of like a secret celebrity. I know a lot of people. A lot of people know me. Nobody remembers the name, unfortunately. You know, when I was working for a mortuary transfer service, whose name shall not be mentioned, I was working with a guy that I had tried to get with his cousin 10 years ago. I tried to get with his cousin, but she was super cute. She used to pick me up in her Jeep Cherokee. We used to hang out. I used to buy her cigarettes and whatnot. You know, we used to chill. Because she wanted to get my buddy Ben, mostly. But Ben didn't want to get with her because she was nuts. And Dennis wanted to get with her, Ben's best friend. So you know, that was a toss. That was a mess. That was a mess. I'll never forget what's her name. So I ended up working with her cousin. Let's continue on with the story. I worked with her cousin, and I didn't realize it until after I had left the company, that particular company. And you asked me, hey, do you know this guy? And there's a pretty good chance that, yeah, I do. A pretty good chance I know that guy, or I know this girl, or I know this person, or I've been to this place. Pretty good with faces. I'm running out of stuff to talk about. I might end this podcast early. I might stop at the 50-minute mark because I have, what, an hour? An hour to do? Well, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Well, this has been Renzo, the Unfriendly Ghost. This has been episode 1.5. Follow me on Twitch on if you want. Twitch.tv/Renz, R-E-N-Z, 14180. And if I get enough followers, I'll start streaming again. I'm going to start streaming next week, hopefully Friday. Friday afternoon, I'll start streaming. I might do a stream tonight, for sure. I don't know yet. It'll probably be really late at night. We're talking 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's when I might start streaming. But if you're listening to this, thank you very much for listening. Like, comment, subscribe if this is how this works. And I'll be recording a new podcast about 3 times a week, starting Saturday, again on Monday, and then we'll probably do Wednesday. All right, guys? Well, let me not haunt this place any further. And thanks for listening to Renzo the Unfriendly Ghost. Woo!